RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Wilms report from Tim Wilms at theunshackled.net in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Hi, Tim. Are you going to complain about the weather today?
No, I am not, because we've been getting some great weather lately for a change. There is going to be a Hopi, and just over a week's time, there is going to be a global climate change. Of course, that's a metaphor for the election, Donald Trump.
A seismic event.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're not wrong there. I'm pretty optimistic.
Okay, meaning that on the Trump side, obviously.
Yes, and we'll get to, obviously, the big election we had here on the weekend, the Queensland state election.
Yeah, if you don't like the weather, you could always just ban the weather, like your government has done with Candace Owens. What the hell?
And sadly, this had been foreseen. The Home Affairs and Immigration Minister Tony Burke, relatively new in the role, said previously, "I hope that she has a good refunds policy." And it was confirmed on Sunday that he had denied her a visa. And his direct quote was from downplaying the impact of the Holocaust with comments about a German SS officer through to claims that Muslims started slavery. Candace Owens has the capacity to incite discord in almost every direction. Australia's national interest is best served when Candace Owens is somewhere else. And the shadow immigration minister, the Liberals' Dan Tehan, back in August said that she should be denied a visa to avoid the spread of hateful messages. And the denying of a visa to Candace Owens had been lobbied by the Zionist Federation of Australia president, Jeremy Liebler, a son of the powerful lawyer, Mark Liebler of Arnold Bloch Liebler, who does a lot of the government contracts, was Dan Andrews' favourite lawyer when he needed to get a contract cancelled.
Yep.
And he was also Mark Liebler on the referendum working group, a huge advocate for the Voice referendum last year. The CEO of the Zionist Federation, Alon Castillo, he said that bigotry and anti-Semitism are unacceptable in any form, whether they originate from the far left or right. And in an interview with Tom Elliott on 3AW, said, "This is not about stopping free speech, it's about stopping hate speech, and worried about a gathering of Candace Owens' fans could incite violence." So apparently after ticket holders go and see Candace Owens, they're going to go down and start a night of the broken glass. And he also mentioned that, she said, disparaging things about LGBT people.
In other words, Australia is sorry, Tim, to hear that your country is now officially lost.
Well,
it's gone over to the dark side, because none of that stands the freedom of speech test anywhere. It's all subjective. It's all people who have got conflicts of interest. You know, what about the horrible things the other side says about people? Is that not hateful as well? But that's promoted and endorsed because it depends on what narrative you follow. This is a horrible development. Sorry, but Australia's gone, mate.
And like I said, this was bipartisan. The fact that the Liberals, The Jewish lobby groups who...
They own them, right? They're owned. Like in the US.
Deliberately misrepresenting what Candace Owens has said. She hasn't denied the Holocaust. When she talks about a satanic cabal, she's talking about a specific sect of Jews. So there's been a lot of deliberate misrepresentation of her views. And the fact that she hasn't been deleted off YouTube shows that she is abiding by their community guidelines, so the people criticising her clearly haven't bothered to watch her.
Well, you can tell that the official, what's your, Burke, the immigration minister, is it? He can't have ever watched. He probably doesn't even know who she is up until now.
Well, I think he cancelled her visa to show that he is taking anti-Semitism seriously. Also praising her denied being a visa was Devere Abramovich from the Anti-Defamation Commission. And he, of course, he was the most hyperbolic, as he always is, and I'll do his voice. This is more than just a visa being revoked. This is a tribute to every single survivor who bore witness to the horror of Auschwitz. Australia has no place for those who mock the suffering of genocide survivors and insult the memories of 6 million Jews who perished.
Yeah, right. But what about freedom to express yourself and speak? You know, I thought that was why Australian diggers went off and got killed in huge numbers in world wars to defend that freedom. Like I say, and we're not far behind, Tim, so I get that.
Has a decision been made in New Zealand over Candace's?
No, I don't think they get it over the line here, because we're not as far gone as you.
And Candace Owens is not a supporter of Hamas or Hezbollah or the other terrorist group that is firing missiles into Israel, Islamic Jihad. Unlike a man who was granted a visa from Gaza, Fayez al-Hassani, by Tony Burke, who back in when he was in Gaza, appeared alongside a Islamic Jihad militants at memorial events commemorizing its martyred members, including his deceased son and brother. But I think because he's an Islamist, Tony Burke is fine with letting him in to shore up his re-election campaign in his seat of Watson in Western Sydney, which has at the last census 25% Muslim vote. I think Tony Burke knows that Candace Owens fans aren't going to vote for him, but those who support Islamic Jihad would be more likely to vote for him than anyone else, which, I mean, this is absolutely disgraceful that Tony Burke would sell out our country just to secure his own political future.
Yeah, they do it all the time. I tell you why they really, this is my view, why they really don't like Candace Owens. I tell you why. Because she is so laser focused in what she says. She doesn't miss a beat. Her stream of consciousness is so on point, relentlessly. Have you seen her with Piers Morgan? Just takes him to pieces. Makes him look like a fool.
I did watch that debate that she had with Rabbi.
I mean, she had to treat them like little boys in the end, because they were... Now, someone that powerful is a real threat to people. It's not necessarily anti-Semitism, though that's in there. It's her ability to verbalize things in such a powerful way, way beyond their ability, way beyond, that freaks them out. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
No group in society is above criticism. And if you watch Candace Owens' show, she is very methodical. She was in that debate with Rabbi Shmuley on Piers Morgan Uncensored. Like I said, it's the double standard by...
She took him apart. She took both of them apart. Pulled them to pieces like the little insects, really. You know, it was painful to watch. They can't handle that.
Rabbi Shmuley, he's also very hyperbolic, like Devere Abramovich here, said that people are calling her Candace Owens.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it may get to that here. Remains to be seen. But that's why they don't like her, because she's too laser-focused. Anyone listening to her would probably say, actually, it sounds like she has a point. The other thing is, she's done some digging into Kamala Harris's background.
Well, yes, so that she might not be as black as she claims. She might be what are called these incognegros, those who claim to be black but are actually very white.
Well, you know, the picture, famous picture of her with allegedly her grandmother is actually looks like the hired help in Jamaica, okay? So already things are being manipulated. And again, Candace Owens is so sharp in how she puts things that they can't have that in public circulation. That's why she's not being allowed in, I'm telling you.
Well, just like recently, our immigration minister, Tony Burke, this is just his latest politically motivated decision. Well, he didn't deny a visa to Kelly J. Keene and most recently Jordan Peterson for the local ARC conference, Alliance for Responsible Citizenship. He had to have a Zoom speech, though he did apply for one at the last minute, which it shouldn't matter, but there was no way that that was going to be improved in time. So, yes, Tony Burke has been very political in this role. He's fine with allowing these Islamists in, including I mentioned to your audience last week, a Arizona State University lecturer who praised October 7, but anyone who's deemed to be on the right and judged by the mainstream media and these various lobby groups as having controversial, hate-filled, insightful views, then...
Well, she's a born-again Christian. Of course she's going to have a problem with LGBTQ+++.
Well,
Are allowed to, you know.
Tony Burke is a practicing Catholic.
Oh well, so he's a two-timer.
Because he used to be aligned with the Catholic socially conservative faction of the Labour Party, but obviously he has sold out his beliefs and now the country to get ahead in politics.
Yeah, for his own purposes. All right. Let's not burn through any more time on that. Okay, Queensland election result. There were also some, I think, local body voting as well to catch up on. So let's start with Queensland, the result.
Yes, so by night's end, and I hosted we went for 5 hours, a Queensland election night live stream. So by the end of the night, it was clear that it was a comfortable win for the Liberal National Party. So David Crisafulli yesterday was sworn in as the 41st Premier of the state. Now, it was a very slow count. The count was stuck for an hour on about 20%. So they count the on-the-day votes first. And in the final week, the polls had narrowed between the LNP, David Crisafulli, and the Labour Party and Premier Stephen Miles, because he had been running hard on the abortion issue. There was posters on the polling booths that said, David Crisafulli wants to control your body. The LNP wants to recriminalise abortion. At the last People's Forum, David Crisafulli said that he believed in a woman's right to choose. And of course, I think I've mentioned this before, the nerve of Stephen Miles to talk about bodily autonomy when he was the health minister under Anastasia Palaszczuk, forcing everybody to get the COVID vaccine, otherwise they'd be shut out of society.
Yeah, so where's the consistency there, eh? Where's the moral equivalency there?
Yeah, David Crisafulli, he voted against legalising abortion up until birth in 2018, like I think any decent person should, but because he was scared about the Labor scare campaign, he ran a million miles from the issue. And at the federal level, Jacinta Price was attacked by her federal colleagues for telling the Nine newspapers at the ARC conference that she wanted abortion to be on the national agenda, declaring pregnancies ended after the first trimester immoral, and argued that late-term abortions were akin to infanticide.
Yeah, well, I go along with that. Yep.
Well, in a normal world, that would be uncontroversial. Obviously, when I'm talking about the role that abortion played in the Queensland election, it was certainly demoralising the fact that Australians believe in, I call it Plan D for death, so vigorously that they...
But do they really? This is the thing. Do they really?
Well...
Just because a politician jumps through a hoop because they think they have to, does it mean that there's really a need to do it?
Well, the way that Stephen Miles and the pro-abortionists talk about it, it's like that it's a routine thing that women do all the time, getting an abortion.
What, for contraception? Because it shouldn't be for that, should it?
No, but it has been observed, particularly in the US election, like Trump's run away from the abortion.
Well, he's put it onto the states, which is quite a smart way to do it.
Yes, but he's diluted his pro-life views. So it has been quite black-pilling that in the US and Australia, their voters who are prepared to elect the worst leaders ever because they want to have in their back pocket the option to have an abortion.
Well, that's not it. That's no men. There are no men in that because we can't have... We can't have one. I suppose there are those who buy the bodily autonomy argument.
Yes, Stephen Miles and his ministers, they knew the definition of a woman again. They knew that only women could get pregnant. His health minister, Shannon Fentiman, spearheaded the abolition of gender in Queensland and couldn't answer what a woman is. And David Crisafulli, he hasn't pledged to wind back gender self-ID in Queensland. The only state leader who has pledged that is the West Australian Liberal leader, Libby Metham, who's pledged to roll back gender self-ID. But we haven't heard anything from David Crisafulli from this. Now, Stephen Miles, he gave an ungracious election night speech. He got up before the result was a clear majority for the LNP. But the next morning, he conceded to David Crisafulli. He wants to stay on as a Labor leader and opposition leader. It was very self-indulgent, his speech, saying, I ran a great campaign. I gave it my all. David Crisafulli, he waited about an hour more until it was clear once the early votes had been counted. And it goes for 2 weeks early voting, which, and there's a consensus on both sides now that early voting needs to be limited to a week. The fact that all of these votes are cast and then they're sat on for days and days.
Mm-hmm. Anything could happen.
Election day should be election day. So David Crisafulli, he said that Queenslanders voted for hope over fear. So he was talking about the fear campaign over abortion and voted for a fresh start. That was his campaign.
Where's the hope? What's the hope? We hope more babies die. I mean, you can't escape it, can you? You can't escape it. Here's a question. You may not know the answer. And maybe we should be asking this question here because we have similar thresholds. So you've got aborting a baby at nearly full term. What happens to the baby?
It is left to die or
yeah, but what happens? What happens? Yeah. What happens? Because it's got usable pieces, right? What happens to it?
Well, as far as we're aware in Australia, there's no. It's not used in the
harvesting of organs.
Yes, it's just
as far as we're aware. Yeah, right.
I know that Dr. Joanna Howe, who's become the most fierce pro-life advocate in Australia, she, if that was happening, I'm sure, if it is happening, she'll get on to it.
Well, you know, anything's up for question these days, I'm telling you.
David Crisafulli also told the crowd or Queenslanders, tomorrow we get to work and do what we say we were going to do. We don't do what we say and wouldn't do. We have a contract with Queenslanders. We intend to honour it. So he's clearly talking about no change to the abortion laws. Although his central policy, which was adult time for adult crime, cracking down on youth crime in Queensland. Youth is in inverted commas. There's not much talk in the media about what are the ethnicity races of these youth offenders who many are accused of murdering people and yep. So manslaughter as well. The abortion issue was put on the Queensland election agenda by Robbie Katter, the state leader of the Katter Australia Party. Though he walked it back in the final week and said, oh, we don't want to recriminalise it. We just want to protect babies born alive.
Boy, now that's a radical thing.
Yes. Yeah, so the Katter Australia Party, they have retained their three seats and they look like getting a fourth seat from the MP, Stephen Andrew, who is actually disendorsed by One Nation, their only state MP, because according to James Ashby was a lazy MP. So he'd held the seat in central Queensland of Mirani for two terms. And James Ashby, he, Pauline Hanson's chief of staff, ran at this election for Keppel, failed to win that seat. So they're now left with zero seats. The Katter Australia Party could end up with four. It was also a bad night for the Greens. They are trying to hold on to one of their seats. They hold two seats in the parliament, Maywa, which they've held for two terms. They also look like they're set to lose South Brisbane, which was held by Amy McMahon. She won in 2020 because the LNP gave her their preferences. They didn't give them at this election. The Queensland Jewish Collective, they had signs outside of polling booths saying the Greens support terrorism. So there's been a lot of in the aftermath of the Greens' poor
but,
result.
But hang on. That means that, you don't, someone who says that shouldn't be allowed into the country, you know. It's okay to stand outside polling booths and have these signs?
Well, some states do have truth in political advertising laws, which I don't support because, obviously, if we're going to oppose mis- and disinformation laws foisted upon us, then they shouldn't apply in political campaigns, because who decides in a political campaign what is misleading?
Yeah, but it's all right for them to do that, right? It's all right for them. No one's really bothered about that. I'm just thinking the principle, you know, so you can, as long as you're protesting about the right thing, the correct thing, everything's all right.
Well, a scare campaign is nothing new. I'm not sure how it is in New Zealand, whether you have an electoral advertising standards body.
I think we do. I don't know what the actual hard and fast rules are. But even if you, I mean, I got no problem with people going and putting signs, because I'm not going to be persuaded by that. It's just that it's okay for some people to say certain things. They could be highly offensive to someone. But it's not okay when you're Candace Owens to have another view, right? It stops you from actually entering the country. That's all I'm going on about.
Well, we'll see if the Greens complain about these signs. A lot of the commentary post their poor result has been, or that they've been too focused on the Palestine issue.
No, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, yeah. And it's a very divisive one, but it depends on which side you're on as to who's right, okay, in the end, doesn't it?
Well, of course, more speech is better, and including being hyperbolic and having provocative signs, like the National Socialist Network.
Oh, yeah, they've been at it again, have they?
Yes, in Melbourne, they've had two public demonstrations in the past week. So the first one was at the final night of the refugee asylum migrant encampment outside the Home Affairs office in Docklands. So they previously turned up a number of weeks ago with their sign that said, F off, we're full. And they just said they're peace and then left after 20 minutes. Though this time, Victoria police were much more physical with them, pushing them away and pepper spraying them. But at least Victoria police, they finally broke up the encampment after 100 days, because it was blocking people from going into, well, it was quite intimidatory for people working at the Home Affairs Department to have that out there. And of course, these, if you're talking about like Candace Owens is not allowed just into Australia for a visit, but these people here, they're on a temporary visa, yet they have got the nerve to demand, actually, we want to stay here permanently. That's not how it works.
That's because they know everyone's a pushover. They're going to get their way.
Yeah, and of course, the mainstream media was sympathetic to their plight because the Nazi thugs turned up to hurl racist abuse at them.
Yeah, well, that's not very pleasant. Yeah, I get that.
Although, F off, we're full. They didn't invent that. That's been a bumper sticker on Utes for decades. But on Saturday, they ratcheted up the National Socialist Network even further, protesting outside the Chinese consulate in Melbourne with a sign that said, "Yellow grubs, hand over the baby mutilator." So talking about that Chinaman who threw hot coffee over baby Luca in Brisbane.
Yeah.
August, and because the Australian Federal Police didn't want to reveal his ethnicity, they allowed him to escape the country back to China, where he's in hiding. And the man's friend confirmed that he deliberately wanted to attack a white baby because his permanent visa had been denied. So he wanted to attack a white Australian. So outside the consulate, they burnt a picture of the Chinese attacker of baby Luca. They also burnt pictures of Mao Zedong, Xi Jinping, and burnt two Chinese Communist Party flags. And the reason why this is probably their most provocative, audacious demonstration is because, well, the CCP, they don't like to be criticised. And they also love to accuse Australia of being a racist country. They did so recently in response to us at the United Nations condemning their human rights abuses in Xinjiang and Tibet, saying, "Oh, well, you committed war crimes in Afghanistan. Who are you to criticise?" So they don't take criticism well. So we'll see if this could escalate to an international diplomatic incident.
And fallout after the King was confronted by Lydia Thorpe, we are aware of that. There's more? Is there more to that?
Yes, because Lydia Thorpe, when she took the oath of allegiance in the Senate, it's a constitutional requirement to sit in the Senate under Section 42. So she pledged allegiance to Her Majesty the Queen, though originally she said the colonising Queen, but she had to retake it to get her pay packet, $200,000 plus a year. But she's now said that she pledged allegiance to the Queen's heirs, not heirs. So she didn't violate her oath of allegiance. But when the coalition said they'd constitutionally challenge her eligibility to sit in the Senate, she said that she deliberately misspoke. And she also responded to allegations that she'd missed a third of sitting days this year is because she was assaulted at a public event earlier this year. And she said she sustained serious nerve and spinal injuries, which required surgery and a plate to be inserted. And so she was under doctor's orders not to attend Parliament while she recovered, though she looked pretty mobile when she was running up to confront the King. Now, it turns out that her accused assaulter, it's not a far-right white man, who she claimed previously this is why she had to be in a hiding move from a house. It's a fellow Koori woman, Ebony Bell, who faced the Magistrates Court in Melbourne yesterday, charged with two counts of recklessly causing injury and three counts of unlawful assault. It was outside the AFL Dreamtime at the G game on May 25 between Essendon and Richmond, because Lydia Thorpe is a Richmond supporter. So Ebony Bell was bailed to appear on November 22. She appeared via video link because apparently she's received threats. Though the police in their brief of evidence described Thorpe's injuries as minor, could she be exaggerating? And also entertainment reporter Peter Ford, he apologised somewhat for calling Lydia Thorpe a skank. Well, he said he wanted to make a point, not cause offence.
Wow, just a few minutes left, so let's make this our last topic, and that is Albo and the Qantas. Is it the chairman's lounge? Is that the top class lounge if you're a Qantas hunter?
All federal politicians are offered membership of the chairman's lounge, and it's a brazen attempt to buy a political influence. So Joe Aston, who's a former columnist for the Australian Financial Review, his column Rear Window was probably the most savage column in the history of columns in our country. If he ever criticised you, you probably wouldn't have gotten out of bed for a week. He was that razor sharp. So he's written a whole book titled The Chairman's Lounge, The Inside Story of How Qantas Sold Us Out. And he revealed that Anthony Albanese, when he was a transport infrastructure minister under the Rudd-Gillard governments from 2007 to 2013, directly requested from Qantas CEO Alan Joyce 22 free upgrades for his personal travel.
I see. All right. Not a good look.
No. And certainly because as Prime Minister, he was accused of doing quid pro quos for Qantas. They supported his voice to Parliament, and his Transport Infrastructure Minister, Catherine King, blocked extra flights into Australia by Qatar Airways.
That's right. And yeah, that was a big issue.
That, regional airline Rex is now in administration because they weren't given enough domestic slots at the major airports in Sydney.
All right. They call them Airbus Albo, don't they? Airbus.
Well, Albo. I think it's a first class Albo first now. Class I mean, Albo. Over in the UK, it's a free gear Kia.
Yeah.
They got up Kia and Albo at Chogham in Samoa.
All right, Tim, a lot going on. Thanks for reporting back in. We'll talk to you in a week or so for another Wilms report.
Yes, it'll be Melbourne Cup Day. The race that stops the nation.
Yeah.
There's also a Reserve Bank meeting coming up, and also inflation numbers coming out. So there'll be a lot to report on, well, just how not well we're travelling economically as well.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.